take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 1. 1 Peter, chapter 1. We'll read verses 21 through 25 together. We'll read this passage responsively. 1 Peter, chapter 1, verses 21 through 25. 1 Peter 1, 21 through 25. Who by him do believe in God, that raised him up from the dead, and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. And let's finish on verse 25 together. Ready? But the word of the Lord endureth forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. And let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what you've done for us. Lord, we're sure spoiled that we get to come to a church where almost every Sunday folks walk down these aisles and trust you as Savior, and the waters of baptism are stirred. You preach through power, through our preacher. And once again, we come tonight meeting you. The Holy Spirit of God, work in our hearts, work in our lives, and change us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated.
Wasn't long ago, I was preaching in the state of Colorado. It was my privilege to be preaching at a conference. I shared that conference with one other man. His name was Dr. Al Lacey. Dr. Al Lacey, how many of you have ever heard of Dr. Al Lacey? Dr. Al Lacey, known as a champion for the King James Bible. Dr. Lacey and I preached together. I think Dr. Lacey would be at least right about 30 years my senior, maybe just a touch less than that. One of the afternoons, we had a question-answer session where Dr. Lacey and I sat on the platform, and all the pastors and all the people that had attended the conference would ask us questions. Many of the questions was about the preservation of the Word of God and the issue of the King James Bible and other things about church building, etc. He and I sat there and we answered those questions. At the conclusion of that little question answer time, Dr. Lacey and I were walking together and he said this. He said, "Brother Owens," he said, "I'm not traveling much anymore." He said, "My health is not good. The missus and I don't travel and I basically stay home." He said, "You're traveling." He said, "You travel a lot. You're well heard." He said, "You know the truth about the King James Bible." He said, "Young man, take the ball and run with it. Somebody has to, in this and the next generation, make sure the old King James Bible is defended as it ought to be." He said, "Please, you have the ability to be a defender of the faith. Please make sure that you do that." I said, "Brother Lacey, to the best of my ability, I will do that very thing." I have here a picture of Dr. Lacey and I at that conference. And he wrote on it here, it says, "Brother Jeff, God bless you, Al Lacey." He signed it with his life verse. That life verse is 3 John, verse number 2, and I'm going to read that to you. I just want to read to you 3 John 2. I don't want you to turn to it. It says this, "For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us, and shall be with us forever." Of course, I'm not shocked. It's talking about the Bible and having the truth of the Bible with us forever. This evening, I'm going to preach a sermon to you about that very subject. The title of the sermon is His Incorruptible Word. His Incorruptible Word. I'm going to read to you again a verse that we all read together. It's found in 1 Peter, chapter number 1, verse number 23. It says this, "Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever." Stay with me, if you will, please. I want to teach you something. I think you'll be encouraged, challenged, and feel more secure about the book that you have by the time we're done this evening. My wife and I were out at the house, and we began to smell something. Couldn't figure out what it was. It was the smell of something rotten. Smelled like rotting flesh. Smelled like something that was corrupting. It, maybe, we thought, was a dead animal. Smelled very, very strongly spoiled. Something that at one time was alive. Something that was fresh. Something that was clean. But all of a sudden, that something is now deteriorating. And it is changing. And it's becoming more and more rotten. And as time passed, it stank more and more and more. We looked around the outside of the house. We looked up what we could up under a porch, and I couldn't find it. So I asked someone, a young man by the name of Nathaniel McLean, when Nathaniel was here and he wasn't off at Bible college, often helped me with projects, and he worked for me, a good young man. I trusted him, a hard worker. I said, Nathaniel, I want you to come out and take a look and see if you can help me find whatever that is. So he climbed up under the house, and he came back, and he said that there's an old dead snake up under there, and that is what's making that bad smell. You see, that snake was corrupting. It was changing from alive to dead. It had gone from better to worse. It went from, as much as a snake could be, from perfection to imperfection. It went from good to bad. That's why it was stinking. It was getting worse and worse. It went from sweet to sour. It went from positive, slowly but surely, it was getting more negative. It went from being whole to becoming partial. It was corrupting. That's what was happening. Have you ever smelled something that was corrupting? It's a pretty nasty smell. Now, the Bible used the word incorruptible. Now, that word, that prefix there, in, means not. In other words, if something is invisible, it is not visible. If something is inadequate, it means it is not adequate. If someone is insane, it means they're not sane. The Bible uses the word incorruptible, not corruptible. Incorruptible means it cannot change. It cannot be made better. It's perfect. There's no way to improve it. Not correctable. The Bible is incorruptible. It's not correctable. It's already perfect. Now, see, if you change something, it either must move toward perfection or it must move away from perfection. So anytime you change something, it's either getting better or it's getting worse. Only two directions you can go. Now, it was either already right and was changing toward wrong, or it was wrong, is now being changed toward right. Now, there are some things in the Bible that are incorruptible. We're taught about this incorruptible Bible. Now, listen to this. Number one, there are some things that are incorruptible. For instance, God is incorruptible. Romans 1:23 says, and change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Here the Bible says that God is not corruptible. This means God is perfect, and you ought to say amen to that. You can't improve on God. He cannot be changed for the better. He can't be changed at all. He is God. He said, I am the Lord. I change not. Why? He doesn't need to change. He is a perfect God. He has no corruption in Him. He is perfect. He cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because He is already perfect. And so, God is incorruptible. Secondly, our future glorified bodies will be incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 15:52 says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. The Bible says in 1 John 3:2, Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Now, when we get to heaven, we're going to get glorified bodies. And the Bible says that we shall become like Jesus. Our glorified bodies will be like the body of Jesus. His glorified body was incorruptible. Our glorified bodies will be incorruptible. What's that mean? They'll be perfect.
Right.
There's coming a day. Mrs. Brinkwell, you won't need that walker anymore. Miss Weibel, you won't need that walker anymore. There's coming a day. Hey, those of you that are not well, there's coming a day when you get to heaven, you're going to get a body, and it's going to be perfect. They won't need to improve on it. They can't change it. It doesn't need any changing. Hey, they cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because our glorified bodies are already perfect. That's what it means. It's incorruptible. And so, the Word of God is incorruptible. The God of the Word is incorruptible. Our glorified bodies will be incorruptible. Next, our future crowns of reward will be incorruptible. 1 Corinthians 9:25 says, And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. In heaven, there's some crowns that will be given to the servants of God. Remember not many weeks ago, I preached a whole sermon about those crowns, and I showed you how you could win a crown, and we'd cast them at Jesus' feet. Those crowns and the rewards that we receive in heaven, they will be incorruptible. What does that mean? They will be perfect. They will not be improvable. They cannot change, and they don't need to change. They cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because they are already there. You can't improve on something that's incorruptible. You can't improve on an incorruptible God. You cannot improve on an incorruptible glorified body. You cannot improve on incorruptible crowns and rewards that will be given in heaven. There's something else that's incorruptible. Our future inheritance will be incorruptible. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:4, to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. You see, we, as children of God, will inherit some things from our heavenly papa or our heavenly daddy. These things that we will inherit, according to this verse, are going to be perfect. They will need no improvement. They cannot be changed. They cannot be changed for the better. Why? They're already better. They're better perfect. They cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because they are already there. They are incorruptible. They're not improvable. They're already improved to the max. Now, I said this. Incorruptible. God is incorruptible. Our future glorified bodies are incorruptible. Our future crowns are incorruptible. Our future inheritance is incorruptible. Now, the Bible teaches that the Word of God is incorruptible. Listen to this verse again. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the Word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. The seed that it's talking about here is God's Word. The Bible says in Psalm 126, verse 6, He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, Luke chapter 8, verse 11 says, Now the parable is this, The seed is the Word of God. You see, His Word is incorruptible. It is perfect. It needs no improvement. It can't be changed to be made better. It cannot be taken from imperfection to perfection because it is already there. Just as God is incorruptible, so is our Bible. Just as our crowns will be incorruptible, so is our Bible. Just as our glorified bodies are incorruptible, so is our Bible. Just as our inheritance is incorruptible, so is our Bible. Notice there in Psalm chapter 120, 26 verse 6. Notice it calls it precious seed. The Word of God is precious seed. It says this, He that goeth forth and weepeth bearing precious seed. This implies there's some seed that is not precious. You have to bear precious seed, which means there is some seed that is not precious. That is the implication here. There are some so-called Bibles that do not qualify as precious seed. You must sow the precious seed to come forth with your sheaves. You must do that. So, I said this. Number one, there are some things that the Bible teaches us that are incorruptible. God is incorruptible. Our glorified bodies will be incorruptible. Our future crowns will be incorruptible. Our inheritance will be incorruptible. And the Word of God is incorruptible. It does not need improved. Number two, God has commanded us to live by every word of His book. Every word. Listen to this verse. By the way, I know there are a couple skeptics here. I already know that. You listen to the logic and you listen to the Scripture tonight. Quit going by your opinion and let the Word of God make your decision. Quit going by what you think and you go by what God thinks. God has commanded us to live by every word of His book. Listen to Matthew 4:4. It says, "But He answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God." No, every word. Does that mean some of His words or all of His words? All. Does that mean some of His words or all of His words? All. Because that's what He said. Does that mean 100% of His words or 90% of His words? 100%. I wonder what every word there means in the Greek. It means every word. God commanded you and I as Christians to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. That's your command. We were told to do that. We are to live by every word in this perfect book, the incorruptible book, the flawless book. His book needs no changes or additions. God says we're to live by every word, and every word. And He even tells us that every word in His book is pure. For instance, Psalm chapter 12, verse number 6 says this, "The words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times." Now, notice there, it says the words of the Lord are pure words. That's plural. He's already told us we're to live by every word. And that word pure there is equal to an incorruptible word. You know, you cannot live by every word unless you have an every word book. How can you obey the command to live by every word that come out of the mouth of God unless you have an every word Bible? Now, we have to have an every word Bible, or God commanded us to do something that we cannot do. God had to make it possible for you and for me to obey the command of Matthew 4:4. God commanded you and I to live by every word. That meant God commanded it. He must make it available for you and I to live by every word. 100%, no flaw, a perfect word-for-word Bible. He had to, or God is unreasonable. For God to command me to live by every word, but not to give me every word, makes God unjust. And if He's unjust, He's no longer God. He must fall from the sky. He is a sinner. But my God is a fair God. My God is a just God. And if my God told me to live by every word, He had to give me every word to live by. He had to. He had to. He had to. God also had to keep His promise to preserve every word. Listen to this. Psalm 12:7 says, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." God promised that He would give us an every word Bible from the generation in which it was written forever. Forever. Today is a part of forever. Somewhere in this world, there must be an every word, pure, incorruptible Bible, so I can obey God's command to live by every word. Now, doesn't that make sense? For someone to say that the original manuscripts are pure, that can't be true. That can't be true. We don't have the original manuscripts. Using their logic, then, we have no pure word of God. If that's true, but it's not, God didn't keep His promise. Right. Remember, God said, "Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. Thou shalt preserve them from this generation forever." Hey, for every generation.
We are a generation. God promised every generation will have a pure word of God. For those that say, oh, you don't have any pure word of God, they're all a bunch of second-class books. I'm sorry. God said He would give this generation a word of God, and we've got to live by every word. He did preserve us a word. We are that future generation that He promised an incorruptible seed to. I'm commanded to preach that perfect book. Listen, 2 Timothy 4:2 says, preach the word. Be instant. In season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Notice it tells me I'm to preach all doctrine. How in the world could I preach all doctrine if I didn't have all doctrine, and I couldn't have all doctrine unless I had an every word book? I'm going to tell you something. If I did not believe that I had a perfect word of God, I'd close this book, I'd go home, I'd go out and make money and spend the rest of my life just living like the world. I have to believe there's an every word Bible. I have to believe it. First of all, because God's name is on the line. He promised He would preserve it. He told us we had to live by every word. He said every generation will have an every word Bible. It had to be so. So, I said this. There are some things that are incorruptible. God is incorruptible. Our glorified bodies will be incorruptible. Our future crowns will be incorruptible. Our future inheritance will be incorruptible. And the Bible is incorruptible. I said number two, God has commanded us to live by every word of His book, and He promised He would give every generation an every word book from which to live. Number three, so which Bible is the pure one? We know that somewhere there must be a preserved, pure, incorruptible Bible for us to use. Only one can be it. Can't be many. Can't be. It's got to be a perfect word for word book. Now they're all different in their words. So they can't all be the incorruptible, preserved one that God promised. So we're going to have to make a choice. I choose the King James Bible. I'm not going to go into the teaching on the Textus Receptus or the corrupt Westcott and Hort manuscripts, though I could, which is one of the most powerful proofs that the King James Bible is a pure Word of God. But I am going to say this to you. Pick one. Can't be two. Can't be many. Must be one. One. Every Word Bible preserved by God for this generation. I'm commanded to preach this one every word Bible. You are commanded to live by every word out of this preserved Bible. You will get your prayers answered by this one every word preserved Bible. John 15:7 says this, If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Notice the words. What God is saying, you have to have an every word Bible, and those words need to abide in you, and as a result of that word that abides in you that has been preserved, I will answer your prayers. Listen to this. I have more respect for the person who says that one of the false Bibles is the perfect Word of God than I do for a person who says God has not preserved the perfect Word of God for this generation. Did you hear that? I have more respect for the person who says that one of the false Bibles is a perfect Word of God than I do for a person who says God has not preserved the perfect Word of God for this generation. Hey, they may believe the wrong Bible, but at least they believe right about the fact that God had to preserve a perfect, pure, incorruptible, word-for-word Bible for our generation. I'm going to tell you something. They don't believe that, though. The people that believe the other Bibles will not stand up and fight for their Bible like I will. I'll fight for the King James Bible. Why? I believe it is a perfect, inerrant, inspired, infallible Word of God. I believe it is a word-for-word preservation by Almighty God to this generation. I'm sure that the incorruptible Bible is the King James 1611, not the New King James. I believe all the others are not precious seed. You must make a choice. Why? You've been commanded to live by every word. I must preach every word. I've got to have every word to get my prayers answered. I know what I've chosen. It's a funny thing. You don't hear anybody for the other Bibles stand up and do what I'm doing. They won't defend them. You know what they say? Ah, they're all good. There's none of them that are pure. Baloney! They have to be. And I'm telling you, I'd rather have somebody take the Revised Standard Version of the Bible, which I think is a corrupt Bible. I'd rather have somebody take it and stand and bombastically say this is the perfect, inerrant Word of God than this tomfoolery of, ah, we don't have a Bible. You're a liar. We have a Bible. If God promised us something, He gave it. Now, He happened to give it in the King James Bible, and I stand and defend it. You don't find people that will defend the others like that. Well, they don't really believe that it is an inerrant Bible. They don't believe that. There are three ways the Bible corruptors destroy the perfection of our every word Bible. Three ways. Let me tell you what they are. They add to the Word of God that He has preserved for us in the King James Bible. They add to it. Proverbs chapter 30, verse 5 and 6. Listen. Every word of God is pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a liar. Here the Bible says, don't you be going and adding. That's a command. Don't you add to the Word of God. You can't correct something that's perfect already. Verse 6 says, He'll reprove you for it. He said, you are a liar for adding to the words of God. And so, the first way that they go to corrupting the incorruptible Word of God is by adding words to it. Secondly, they take away words of God. Deuteronomy 4:2 says, you shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Revelation chapter 22, verse 19, it says, and if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Huh. God does not want a condensed or an expanded version of His already perfect Word of God. He had to give you and I a perfect, preserved Word of God, word for word. He had to do it. He promised to do it. He said, from this generation forward, I'll always make sure you have a word for word Bible, because I command you to live by every word. He did it. We shouldn't be adding to it. We should not be subtracting away from it. Our generation has a preserved Word of God. So, they add to the Word of God to destroy it. They take away from the Word of God to destroy it. Then, thirdly, they change His Word. Jeremiah chapter 26, verse number 2, it says, thus saith the Lord, stand in the court of the Lord's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in the Lord's house. All the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. Now, the word diminish here does not mean taking words away totally, but it means changing the words or interchanging the words. God said, don't you be diminishing. Don't you dilute my words. Don't you tamper with my words. Don't you adjust my words to your vernacular. God said what He meant, and He meant what He said, and He doesn't want us tampering with it. I think of Brother Folk back here. When Brother Folk goes south down to Florida, he goes to Mickey Carter's church. I'm guaranteeing you, Brother Carter preaches like this on the King James Bible too. Sure. All the old timers used to do it. You got a new generation of people that think they can improve on God. You can't improve on the Bible. You can't improve on God. It's incorruptible. I fight for my King James Bible. I fight for it. I believe it is in every word, preserved, incorruptible Bible. I fight against adding words. I fight against renaming words. I fight against changing words. They that believe false Bibles should fight for their Bible if they believe it's inerrant. But they don't. So they won't fight. They don't believe there's a perfect Word of God. Well, we'll take this one, we'll take that one. What makes you think you've got the right one? Somebody's got to have the right one. Somebody has to have the right one. There has to be a preserved Word of God. And I believe for many, many other reasons it is the King James Bible. But if I didn't, I'd clamp onto something. I'd stand up and fight for it. I believe God had preserved the Word of God. It is the King James Bible. It is preserved. It is word for word. You just check the great revivals of history. They didn't come from the new Bibles. They came from the old King James. You check the greatest men of history. They preached the old King James. You check the churches that use the King James. They got people saved right and left. They have an old-fashioned revival service, an old-fashioned revival spirit. I guarantee it. And the rest are going contemporary. Changing their music, changing their soul winning, changing their standards. Why? Well, they got a changing Bible. That's why they're changing. They're changing with their Bible. Hey, those people
to believe that all those other Bibles are not committed to the Word of God. They're not committed that it could be word perfect. They're not committed that it is infallible. They're not committed that it is precious seed, flawless seed, uncompromising seed. They're not committed to that. You also find out they're not committed to much of anything, really. Get right down to it. Whatever. Yet, old dead snake. You know what happened? He kept getting worse and worse. Why? He once was alive. Now he's been tampered with and he's dead. And the deader he gets, the more he stinks. They say, we're improving the Bible. Man can improve what God wrote. Then tell me this. When are you going to be finished improving it? I've been watching you now for 30, 40 years improve it. Funny how you improve it and you write another one, and then another one, and then another one, and another one. God gave us one, and you can improve on the old time religion, and you can improve on the old King James Bible. You can. I'll just stick with the one that brought me. I'll stick with the one that's fresh and alive and pure, that produces souls saved for the cause of Christ. I'll stick with the old King James Bible. He said, well, I don't believe that. Then you go find you a church that believes a given Bible that sticks with it and fights for it. No, find them and yoke up there. That'll be fine. I'll respect you if you decide you pick which one. You won't find a church that'll stand up and fight for their Bible. Unless they're fighting for the old King James. Why? We believe it's perfect, inerrant, inspired. Check it out. See if I'm not telling the truth. I'm not a novice about this subject. I know which Bible colleges believe the old King James and which don't. I know which churches believe it. I know which denominations, if you will, which even sects of the Baptist religion believe it. I believe the battle for the next 20 years in fundamentalism is going to be over the King James Bible. I really believe that. Some people say, well, I thought that was all settled. It isn't all settled. You think the devil's going to give up? I'm already watching people call themselves old-time fundamentalists, holding hands with people who don't believe the King James Bible, not practicing what we call secondary separation, bringing people in to testify that don't believe the King James Bible. And just because they're testifying, you think it's okay to lift those folks up in front of your people. I got news for you. We better lift people up that believe the old King James Bible. We better lift people up that believe the old-fashioned way. We better lift people up that believe there's a pure, inerrant, inspired, preserved Word of God. And like I said, you say, I don't believe it's the King James. Then you tell me what you do believe, and then you stand up and you fight, and you fight for the truth that God promised that every generation would have a word-for-word Bible preserved. Preserved. But I have no doubt that it's the King James Bible. No doubt. Dr. Lacey said, young man, people hear you. Somebody must do what I have done. Dr. Al Lacey traveled this country up and down it for many, many years as an evangelist, going around preaching sermons like I have tonight, defending the King James Bible. And I will. I will. Look, if I am going to live by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God, then He is honor bound to have preserved every word for me. It's got to be somewhere.
Yes, sir.
I've got me one right here.
Yes, sir.
You say, I don't believe that. Let me ask you a question. This Bible produces souls saved. When was the last time you won anybody to Jesus Christ? Well, you haven't. You probably never have won anybody to Christ. Why? You got precious seed or not? My precious seed gets people saved. Hey, Mrs. Johnson, it was precious seed that got your husband saved. It was precious seed that gave you the power and the confidence to wait 32 years to get your husband saved. It was precious seed that got your prayers answered. It's precious seed that held all these people saved. You check the churches that don't believe this. They don't have a bunch of people saved. They don't have an old-time religion revival going on. They're getting more and more like the world. They're changing more and more. They're stinking more and more. As they get deader and deader and deader. And then they think, I'm an idiot. because I'm not scholarly. You know what? I'd rather be a dumb old country boy that believed in God, told the truth when he said, I'm preserving in every word Bible. There it is. Now go get it, boy. But there might be a little more scholar in what has been said here tonight than what you think. I call the sermon His Incorruptible Word. Thank God. If you got it, let's stand. I don't want you to be rude to people. I don't want you to be unkind to people. But you do not have to cower. You do not have to cower about your stand for the Bible. But don't be wishy-washy. There are wishy-washy churches and Christians everywhere. They won't take a stand. I will take a stand. And I don't think God's disappointed.